And there was a fairly extraordinary dance that was going on while that Steel Ice Band classic was rocking and a rolling. I'm delighted to say Martin and Eliza Carthy are with us. Martin, hello.
Hello. Yeah,
Martin was stationary pretty much through most of that. Yeah. But Eliza, wow, that was an extraordinary dance routine.
That was my status quo guesting with Steel Ice Band dance.
There was a little bit of that. There was a little bit in there. And Martin, you said you only sung that song once because you're not on the recording.
I'm not on that recording. I wasn't in the band then.
So when was the one occasion that you sang
at the London Palladium?
Wow, that's very showbiz.
I had a fantastic time walking around and looking at all the people who've been there, the Bob Oates and the Bing Crosbys and all those people, because they've got all the old posters up on the walls backstage. It's phenomenal.
I would imagine it's a fairly similar feeling to walking around the Royal Albert Hall, because, I mean, I mentioned before the posters that are just behind you, and everywhere you go there are the historic events which have happened here.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And congratulations on the lifetime achievement.
Thank you.
So what happens later on, Martin?
Well, it's not over yet, I'm glad to say.
No, well, absolutely.
I hope
quite
the phone
well.
Doesn't stop ringing.
and that's what Moya Brennan was saying earlier. You know, you had a lifetime achievement. It's almost like saying, right, thanks very much
thanks
and goodbye. But absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So all it is, it's marking everything that you've done so far. But what are you planning to do on stage tonight?
Well, Liza and I have just done a CD together, and that's coming out in...
2nd of June.
2nd of June.
It's called The Moral of the Elephant.
The Moral of the Elephant. I just had The Elephant.
Well, it was originally going to be called just The Elephant, but we...
Well, we decided we needed some morals in our folk music.
And what is the moral? And what is the moral of the elephant then?
The story of the blind man and the elephant is a children's poem by a poet, American poet called John Godfrey Sachs, and it's a story of I suppose it's a sort of parable in a way. It's like a Just So story of these six men that go to see an elephant, but they're all blind, and they all put their hands on the elephant, and they each describe the elephant as a different thing. So one of them puts his hand on the elephant's trunk and says, "Ooh, this elephant is very like a snake." One of them puts his hand on the elephant's ear and goes, "Ah, this elephant is very like something else." You know, it's all about how they're all describing various bits of the same thing, and they start fighting with each other because they're all experienced different parts of it. And so, it's about disagreement, I suppose. It's about fighting about the same thing. Everyone's fighting about the same thing.
And have you done an album together before, Martin?
No.
So what was it? It was 1994. We recorded
the first one, so
we recorded
years.
Together for the first time.
That was Watson. So, that was as Watson Carthy.
Yes. Yeah. So what was that experience like? Because were you on producing duties then, Eliza?
Not then, no. That was one of my first records. I didn't start producing records till sort of 10 years after that.
So who produced this record?
We did it.
Really?
Oh, just between ourselves and my cousin Oliver Knight. We just sat
so
down
like
for
a collective, because somehow
us.
I think, you know, someone's in charge, really, ultimately.
Yeah. I wouldn't like to.
I wouldn't like to say.
So what's the first song you're going to do for us?
Which one are you going to do first?
Let's do The Queen of Hearts.
Okay. You're making this up as you go along.
Yes, absolutely. We'll sing you a song that my dad recorded on his first album, which was, about 40 years ago now?
It was actually 65.
Oh, my goodness me.
1965.
So we've done a new version of it.
Okay. Martin and Eliza Carthy singing live.
Here we go. To the Queen of Hearts is the ace of sorrow. Here today and then gone tomorrow. Young men are plenty, but sweethearts few. If my love leaves me, what shall I do? My father left me both house and land, gold and silver all at my command. At my commandment they never shall be. I'll leave them all, I'll go with thee. I love my father, I love my mother, I love my sister, I love my brother.
My father left me both house and land, gold and silver all at my command. At my commandment they never shall be. I'll leave them all, I'll go with thee. Had I the star in yonder mountain, where gold and silver's to be had for counting, I could not count for the heart of thee. My eyes so full, I could not see. To the Queen of Hearts is the ace of sorrow, here today and then gone tomorrow. Young men are plenty, but sweethearts few. If my love leave me, what shall I do?
And undoubtedly everyone's favourite moment will be the bit where Martin turned to his daughter and said, what happens next? What happens next?
We call it some timers, it's just not all timers.
Just occasionally.
Some of the time.
Just occasionally, yeah.
So even though, so Martin, it's a big evening for you, and even obviously, as you've already mentioned, it's not going to, you know, you're not stopping, you're as active and as busy as ever, and you have this new album with Eliza. It maybe is a moment for reflection. And I wonder if you could just describe, and I hope I've got this right, the night that you went to Ewan McColl's Ballad and Blues Club on the Edgware Road, and you heard a certain Norfolk fisherman, kind of changed everything. Yeah. Can you just explain what happened that night?
Well, I'd gone along with someone else. I was one of those people, anybody had a guitar, I attached myself to them with a piece of string about a quarter of an inch long, and there was this guy who I was always attaching myself to, who was always really disdainful, wished I'd go away. And one day he came up to me and said, would you please come with me, because I've got myself booked at the Singers Club, and I might have... It was called the Ballads and Blues in those days, I'm sorry. The Ballads and Blues, I've got myself booked at the Ballads and Blues, and I've bitten off more than I can chew, will you come with me? And I said, yeah. And I went along, and he started to sing, and it was very clear, because he told Ewan McColl that he'd been in Canada for the last 5 years collecting Canadian folk music. And his first song was John Henry, which isn't Canadian at all, and his second song was Cosha Bailey Had an Engine Who Was Always Wanting Mending. And that's not Canadian either. And Ewan's face remained impassive throughout the whole thing, and he let him do his set, and then he proceeded to introduce this man who my friend had described as some soppy old fisherman from Norfolk with no teeth. And this old bloke, who was about 80, stood up and started to sing, and I thought I knew some English folk songs. I might have known the names, but I didn't know the sort of thing that he was going to produce. And he was just astounding. I'd never, till then, heard anybody sing so passionately. He's 80 years old, and he gave it all he's got, all through the evening. And if the song was rude, he would stop every now and again and say to Ewan McColl, am I to go on? And Ewan would say, yes, it's all right. Oh, he'd sing a couple more verses and say, am I to go on? And yes, that's fine, you can go on. And he'd say, this is how the evening went. And right at the end of the night, Ewan said, now he's going to sing a song which is one of my favourites, and it's his way with a song called Henry Martin. Now, I thought I knew Henry Martin from the Burlive Songbook, and he proceeded to sing this song called The Lofty Tall Ship, which had the weirdest and most wonderful tune I'd ever heard. I'd never heard anything like it. And I really then understood that just because I'm English, it doesn't mean to say I'm going to have any kind of sympathy or understanding of English music, real English music. And I walked out of there on my own. I think Roy, my mate, had left some time before. And I'd walked out of there walking on air saying, how can a person sing a tune like that? How on earth can he sing a tune like that? It doesn't make any kind of sense. And I sang the tune to myself all the way going home, and I never saw the funny side of that. Because the tune was that weird, I couldn't imagine anybody singing it, and there was I singing it to myself. And that just lodged in my brain, and that whole moment was the moment when I knew what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life.
You did one of the most memorable Desert Island Discs on Radio 4, after which, I mean, I stood by the radio. I didn't sit. I didn't relax. I stood by the radio and I wrote down the names of the tracks, which of course was pointless and stupid because I could just get them online.
Yeah.
And I downloaded most of the stuff that you chose because I'd never heard it before. Yeah. And just before you play another track, I want to play Freight Train by Elizabeth Cotton.
Oh, yes.
And I was talking about this with Martin Simpson earlier, and he was just waxing lyrical about how exciting it is. So we'll play. It's just a couple of minutes before you get to play again. Can you set it up? Can you just explain why this is such a fantastic track?
Oh, she was a bit of a secret player, really, because she learned guitar. She was left-handed, and she used to ask her brothers, could she borrow an instrument? No, you can't. So she would just steal their instruments and play them as she could, which was left-handed and upside down. And she worked out this way of playing what we would now call a kind of ragtime guitar feel. And she can do things that a right-handed player can't do. It takes too long to explain why, but she can. And she's the woman who wrote Freight Train, which the Chas McDivitt group with Nancy Whiskey had a hit with in 1957, and made the mistake of copywriting it, and that brought her name to the forefront, which meant that when I saw her album, Negro Folk Songs and Tunes, in Dobell's record shop, I just snapped it up.
Yeah.
She was discovered by the Seeger family. She was their housekeeper, and they walked into the house one day, and there was this music playing. What's this? Walked in very quietly, and there was Libba, the housekeeper, with her back to them, playing a guitar the wrong way round and playing this gorgeous music. And they went round, and they're all folklorists. These people, they should have heard of her. They thought. And there she was in their house, playing this wonderful music. Beautiful guitar player. Please play it so everybody can hear it. She's wonderful.
Elizabeth Cotton. Freight Train by Elizabeth Cotton, and introduced by Martin Carthy. And I wanted you just to explain why it was so significant, rather than just play it, Martin. And and I can't play a note on the guitar, but I could see you listening, particularly at the beginning, just in awe again at what she was doing there.
She was just this lovely lyrical guitar player, and it's something I suppose I always maybe always want to aim at something like that. That's why it's important to me, because it sounds so simple, so straightforward, and it's not.
Martin is here because he gets a lifetime achievement tonight. Eliza is here just because they've done this album together. You've got another song. What are you going to play, Eliza?
We're going to sing you Happiness by Molly Drake.
Okay, Nick's mother.
Nick Drake's mother, yes.
So just explain the history of this song and why you're choosing this.
The Molly Drake album is an album of 19 songs that were recorded by Nick Drake's father, Molly Drake's husband, when they lived in India. And he was a tape recording enthusiast, and his wife wrote poetry and songs and kept a diary, and the fella, Callie Callaman, that looks after the Nick Drake estate, found these in all of Nick's papers and put the album out about 3 years ago. I think it just came out 2 years ago. And, yes, the most beautiful songs. She had a crazy intelligence, and they're just beautiful pieces of music. So, and we're learning them.
Okay. Martin and Eliza Carthy singing live.
Happiness is like a bird with 20 wings. Try to catch him as he flies. Happiness is like a bird that only sings when his head is in the skies. You can try to make him walk beside you. You can say the door is open wide. If you grab at him, woe betide you. I know, because I've tried. Like a butterfly upon an April morning, very quickly taking fright. Happiness is come and gone without a warning. Jack-o'-lantern in the night, I will follow him across the meadow. I will follow him across the hill. And if I can catch him, I will try to bring you, oh yes, happiness. And if I can catch him, I will try to bring you all my love and happiness. I will follow him across the meadow. I will follow him across the hill. And if I can catch him, I will try to bring you, oh yes, happiness. And if I can catch him, I will try to bring you all my love and happiness.
Singing live on Radio 2, Martin and Eliza Carthy. That was fantastic. What a performance. Rate that performance, Martin.
Oh, 10.5 out of 10.
10.5 out of 10. The album is, which is their first together, as they've mentioned, The Moral of the Elephant, comes out, excuse me, on the 2nd of June. Eliza, thank you very much indeed. Martin, thank you very much. All the best for tonight.
Thank you.
And do you ever get nervous?
I get reflective.
Okay. Well, have a reflective evening.
Thank you.
Martin and Eliza, thank you very much indeed.
And so we move on to our second Lifetime Achievement Award of the evening. And we're delighted to have with us to present this award a man of diverse and considerable talents, having been at various times, let's see, pop star, author, six music DJ, some of the good guys, cultural curator and guest editor of the Today programme. With his band Pulp, known by the disco fraternity as the Shabby Chic, he staked a claim for entry into the pantheon of rock legend when Glastonbury embraced Common People as its anthem in 95, and just a few months later, he rubber-stamped that status with an infamous cheeky stage invasion at, what's that other thing that they do? The Brit Awards, that's it. Hopefully tonight, with his keks emphatically belted, please welcome Jarvis Cocker.
Thank you. Hello. I'm here to present a Lifetime Achievement Award. And this person, you probably, actually, I was thinking, oh, we can make it like, you know, a mystery, but it's printed in the programme, so you know who it is. But this person has been mentioned a lot already tonight. And so I think that shows how what an influential person he is. I was just involved in a book called Singing from the Floor, which is like a history of folk clubs in the UK. And this is all told in the voices of the people who were part of it. And his is the first voice. So that shows you, you know, people, they bandy those words around, don't they? You know, pivotal, legendary, all that. They get used a bit too often, but I think we can say this person is a pivotal and legendary person. Now, I also know that you'll probably be embarrassed to be called that. That's the other aspect that makes somebody a true legend. They don't let you know about it. You know, they're not going, I'm legendary, me. I'm fantastic. I can say his name, can't I? Martin Carthy, right? Will be familiar to all of you here. I've had the pleasure of working with him quite recently. Back in October, I was involved in a thing, Bright Phoebus, it was called. I was very nervous about it. Approaching a legendary folk album, what the hell are they having me on the stage? They're involved with that. And I got to view Mr. Carthy's working methods up close and how he makes you feel safe and welcome. And I'm sure that many, many people in the folk world have benefited from his a guiding hand, you know, but it's not applied like that. So I know there's a lot of people in this building, but I think you need a bit of exercise. I think what I'd like you to do is could pray, all be upstanding for Mr. Martin Carthy.
Very much. I'm actually really very, very happy to have this happen. It's fabulous, and it also gives me a chance to wear this shirt. I'm really, thank you very much. It's been quite a long time, but I've had a lot of great teachers on the way, and it's amazing how many of them were fiddlers. There was Dave Swarbrick, there was Peter Knight, and there was Eliza. And they've got one thing in common, and that is that they're all bonkers. and there's nothing like playing next to somebody who's completely bonkers, because you've got to just keep up and have a good time. It's a great learning experience. I mean, just to play with some of the people I've had a chance to play with, like this gent, has been absolutely wonderful. Because they just reveal more of a song than perhaps you knew was there. It's extraordinary. I had quite late on in musical life, I think I came to be much closer to the Watersons for obvious reasons. I married Norma, and she is probably the best teacher of the lot, and she's sitting at home now watching this on Red Button and throwing things at the television. I know she is. Oh, shut up, she's saying. There you are, Norma. That's for you. Thank you very much indeed. I'm a very happy man. Thank you. Thank you.
Martin Carthy will be performing a song for us in just a few minutes' time. Okay, congratulations to Bella. And now for some more live music from the second of tonight's Lifetime Achievement Award winners, Martin Carthy. Martin and his daughter Eliza have contributed so much to British folk music. They've sung together on many occasions alongside wife and mum Norma Waterson in their family band Waterson Carthy and also in the great multicultural project Imagine Village. But here's the thing. They have never until now recorded as a duo. Their debut album together, The Moral of the Elephant, is due out later this year, and we're going to hear a song from it now. Shall we bother? Okay, we'll bother. To perform Died for Love, a tribute to the late Mike Waterson, please welcome Martin Carthy and Eliza Carthy.
The door he broke and he found a hand.
heart's a very deep was a marble strong heart. Got my head and feet, and in the middle place a snow white dog, just to let the world know that I died for
And so, now we are reaching the end of the BBC Radio 2 Folk Awards for 2014. Many congratulations to all of tonight's nominees and winners, and many thanks also to the presenters and the performers. You can listen to and see highlights of the Folk Awards via the iPlayer and online over the coming days and weeks. You can find all these details on the Radio 2 website.
It's been quite good, hasn't it? Yeah. I thought so. But here's a surprise to finish with. On January the 27th this year, the world said farewell to one of the true giants of folk music, Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger passed away aged 94. He came to prominence with the Weavers in the 1950s, who topped the charts for an astonishing 13 weeks with a Lead Belly song, Goodnight Irene. He popularised We Shall Overcome, a song which became the anthem of the civil rights movement of the 1960s. He campaigned for peace and actively supported a range of humanitarian and environmental causes throughout his long life.
His songs, Where Have All the Flowers Gone?, If I Had a Hammer, and Turn, 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 are known, loved, and sung across the globe. He was the catalyst for what is now recognised as a golden era in folk music, producing the likes of Bob Dylan, Peter, Paul and Mary, Phil Oakes and Joan Baez, a lineage kept alive today by activist singers such as Bruce Springsteen and Billy Bragg.
He brought the world together, or at least attempted to do that with his music, and we can't think of a better way of paying tribute to this remarkable man than to join together and sing one of his songs. To lead us on the song Quite Early Morning, it really does give me great pleasure to introduce a singer, songwriter, a multi-instrumentalist who has known Pete, literally, for all of her life, and for whom this loss will be felt more deeply than by any of us. So please welcome Pete's sister, Peggy Seeger.
I'd like to assume that that applause was for Pete as well. Now, you read about him on your last page of your book, so I won't say much about his history. It's too long, too complicated, too absolutely wonderful. My first time I ever saw him play was in a boxing ring with Lead Belly. They weren't boxing. And he was teaching the audience. And so what I'd like to do with this song is to show you how he did that. And he expected you to jump to right away. No nagging, no begging, just sing, darn it, okay? So, here it is. I'll sing one line, you give it back to me, and if my suspenders hold up long enough, we might have to sing it again, we shall see. We know it's darkest before the dawn. Now you. We know it's darkest before the dawn. The coming light keeps us moving on. The coming light keeps us moving on. We must heed the early warnings. We must heed the early warnings. The time is now, quite early morning. The time is now, quite early morning. Repeat of those last two lines. We must heed the early warnings. The time. say that humankind won't long endure. They sound so sad, they sound so sure. Stop your crying, it's time to sing in. Make those morning bells go ringing. Repeat, stop your crying, it's time to sing in. Would love to hear you. And so we go on while we live, until we have no more to give. And when our fingers can play no longer, give the old banjo to someone stronger. The old banjo to someone stronger. We know it's darkest before the dawn. The coming light keeps us moving on. We must need the early warning. Together, keep moving on through all this world of joy and sorrow. We still have hope for tomorrow. In his later years, I suppose that means the last 20, because he died when he was 94, about 3 weeks ago. He'd lost most of his voice, he'd lost most of his memory, and he'd lost a lot of his hearing. Now, that man could stand up here and start a song that he knew you knew, and he'd get you to sing it without him, because he couldn't do it anymore. So let's do a Pete Seeger on this one. You're going to sing this by yourselves. We know it's darkest, louder, louder yet. Why?
Peggy Seeger, joined there by, I think this list is right, I'll be honest with you, it kept changing right up until the last minute there. Martin and Eliza Carthy, Mary Waterson, Martin Simpson, Suzanne Vega, Bella Hardy, Lisa Knapp, Barbara Dixon, John Bowden, Aeneas Mitchell and Jefferson Hamer, Beth Nielsen-Chapman, Chris Weil, show of hands, Ashley Hutchings, Nancy Kerr, Faye Heal, Joe Freyer, Kareem Polwart and Miranda Sykes. So you've had your money's worth, eh?
The Radio 2 Folk Awards is a Smooth Operations production for the BBC. And from me, Julie Fowlis.
And me, Mark Radcliffe. And we've had a wonderful and memorable time tonight. Yeah. And we hope you have too. So from the Royal Albert Hall in London, thank you. Good night.
Thank you, man. Cheers.